Father, we thank you that you are good. Thank you that you are good in your creation. You are good in salvation. And you have a good future lined up for us. Father, help us to remember that no matter what life throws at us, that you are working for our good in all things and you love us and you're for us. And we pray that you'd help us to live for you at all times. Tonight, as we think again about you and your word and what it means to share it with other people, we pray that this wouldn't just be something that we know, but something that we do. Please give us hearts that long to please you and be obedient to your call. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you feel when someone asks you about your faith, asks you a question about your faith? Are you one of those people whose eyes light up and you relish the opportunity to be able to explain some tricky part of your faith? Or are you somebody, on the other hand, whose mouth goes dry instantly, your mind goes blank, and all of a sudden you feel like you're unable to string any meaningful words together? In fact, you're not even sure if you can speak English anymore, let alone form sentences. If you're in that second group, I'm sure you're in the majority and not the minority. But having said that, that's not something that we should take solace in. It's not something we should sit back and think, great, I'm the same as everyone else, therefore I don't need to do anything. No, that's an obstacle that we need to try and get past. And tonight we might not leave totally excited about the next chance we have and the next question someone asks us and answering that question, but hopefully we're going to have a few pointers tonight that will help us to answer questions, answering questions about our faith. We're going to start by reading those very helpful verses again from the book of Peter, which we've referred to on several occasions during these Monday nights. And we're just looking at 1 Peter 3:15, just one verse, just as we think about this whole topic of answering questions about our faith. So 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Please notice a couple of things about this verse. One of the things I think it's worth pointing out is what we're not required to do. So we're not required to have every single piece of information and every conceivable answer formulated in our mind. So it's not like we're a walking, talking, systematic theology book. We're not required to be an expert debater. We're not required to be someone who's able to write a book explaining everything there is to know about God. But we are commanded by our King, Jesus. We are commanded to be people who are prepared to give an answer for the reason for the hope that we have. So we're to be ready, we're to be prepared for the questions that we'll face in our everyday lives. In life, we all practice many things. So if you play a musical instrument, you practice, or at least you should do if you want to play it well. I think Harold says it's 90% practice and 10% skill. Is that right? Something like that. Just constant practice, practice, practice. If you play sports, you practice. If someone's coming round for a meal, I never get it when I watch one of these cookery programs and they say, "How many times have you made this before?" And we go, "It's my first time." And you're thinking, are you stupid? You should have practiced and practiced. That's what you normally do. When someone's coming around to your house, you go with something that you've done. You go with something that's proven or at least works some of the time. You practice before exams. You practice before doing your driving test. Well, we're to be people who are prepared, who have practiced for the most important thing, and that's giving the reason for the hope that we have. Is somebody spending eternity with God rather than in hell as important as passing a driving test? Yes. Is someone spending eternity with God rather than in hell as important as being good on a musical instrument? Yes. Is someone spending eternity with God rather than spending eternity in hell as important as being able to make cakes or a main course really well? Yes. So therefore, it's reasonable that we practice, that we're prepared. So we need to follow the command of Jesus and be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. So tonight we're going to look at some top tips. Just going to be four. The first one's going to take the majority of the time. Tips to help us to bear in mind when we're seeking to answer questions that people might ask. And hopefully these things will help us to answer questions well. So the first thing to bear in mind is when we're asked a question, we should keep the answer Jesus focused. So we're to keep the answer Jesus focused. Sat-navs are incredible things, aren't they? If you have the... some of the time. If you have the correct postcode, and it's the right postcode, and it's on streets that exist, and you've updated your TomTom or whatever else, if that's all true, then they will take you on the quickest or most direct route to the place where you're trying to get to. You might be clueless about the area. You may have never been there before in your life, but it's okay because the sat-nav will work out the most direct or quickest route to the place you need to be. And it doesn't matter where you're starting from. You could be anywhere, and it will. Sometimes it takes ages to figure out the best route, but it's working out the best route. And when you're driving, following the sat-nav, it doesn't matter what any of the roads that you come across, no matter how appealing they look, if you want to go the most direct route or the quickest route, then you shouldn't take any of those other routes. Otherwise, Jane starts to get very, very angry. You know, turn around now and take the first, do a U-turn and all that sort of stuff. See, it doesn't matter how appealing any other side street looks, you just need to stick to where the sat-nav's taking you, the most direct route. Anything else is a distraction. They'll take you off course. They'll take you away from the desired direction that you're going in. So what's the desired destination or desired direction that we want to be going in when we're answering a question about our faith? Well, we want them, don't we, to know the gospel, because Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Now, what is the gospel? We looked at this in the very first week when we started thinking about evangelism, and we looked at Mark 1:1. You might want to turn there just for a reminder. We must never forget this. In Mark 1:1, the very first verse in that book simply says, "The beginning of the gospel." So what's the gospel about? "The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God." So the gospel is all about Jesus. So our destination when we're talking with someone is Jesus, the gospel. Whatever question we're asked, wherever we are placed by our questioner on the map, we need to be thinking, how can I make the most direct route to Jesus? And there might be loads of other interesting side streets that we would like to go down. There might be loads of things that are true, that are helpful, that we might want to share. But chiefly, we want to arrive at our destination, which is Jesus. We want to maybe be able to explain Jesus' work or his mission. Or we might want to share something Jesus has said or just look at some truth about his life. But whatever it is, we want to be taking the attention onto Jesus. One great thing about answering in the way that Jesus answers, that's one thing we can do. We can answer in the way that Jesus answered when he was asked questions. When we do that and when we're taking people to Jesus, we're no longer using our own intellect or the wisdom of man. Remembering Jesus is God means that when we say what he's saying, then that's speaking from God's authority and his vantage point, not our own intellect. So we're using the wisdom of God rather than our own. So it's absolutely essential that we're going to Jesus. It's all well and good to quote somebody else, and sometimes that can be helpful, but primarily we want to be speaking about Jesus. So let's look at some actual examples of that. So I'm going to say some questions that might come up and then look at how we can get to Jesus quickly from them. And then shortly, hopefully, just maybe in twos or threes, I'm going to put a couple of questions on screen. I'm going to let you try to do this yourself. So I'm going to make you do some work tonight. So listen carefully and you'll get some top tips, hopefully, to how to do it for the questions. I've given you the difficult ones as well. No, I haven't. Okay, so someone might come up to you with this question. And this is like probably top of the list. And the question goes something like this. How can you believe in God when actually, when you look around the world, there's just loads of suffering? You know, and that's not just man's inhumanity to man. There's also earthquakes and natural disasters. So that's the question you've been asked. We've all probably been asked something similar to that. How can you believe in a loving God or a God is there at all when there is so much badness in the world? How would you reply to that? So remember, we're trying to think what Jesus has said. So if Jesus has been asked that question in the New Testament, that'll be a great passage to try and have in our minds. Or is there a situation he's been in that's been dealing with that? Or does it tie into Jesus' mission at all, that question? So that's what we're thinking. And I can't think of anywhere in the New Testament where Jesus is asked that question directly, but there is a place in the Bible that we looked at not too many Sunday mornings ago, and it's in Luke 13, and you can turn there if you like. And in that passage, Pilate, if you remember, has killed some worshippers who were on their way up to... that we are actually at Jerusalem offering some sacrifices. And also, there is a tower, the Tower of Siloam, who falls on some people. So it's an industrial action. So in those two instances, we have man's inhumanity to man, and we also have, and of course, this isn't what you're saying to the person, I'm just talking through the thought process. And also, there's a natural disaster, a tower falling on somebody. And somebody in this passage is asking Jesus to comment on what's going on there. And Jesus's answer, if you remember when we looked at this passage, Jesus's answer is, and his response is, the reason there is suffering is because there is something wrong with the world. And what's wrong with the world is our rebellion. We've rebelled against God, and suffering is telling us that this world is broken. It isn't what it should be like. There is something wrong in our lives, and every time that we see suffering or pain, that's a warning to us that there is worse to come unless we get our lives on track with God and we turn to him. So Jesus came to earth to tell people to turn to God. Now, that's the truth of that passage, and you would try and figure out how to winsomely say that to somebody in a way that's gentle and respectful. But basically, the basic truth is the reason there is suffering is because there is something wrong with this world. This world is broken, and that breakage is because of our rebellion. What about Jesus' mission? Does Jesus' mission tell us anything about suffering? Well, yes, it does, because Jesus actually suffered himself. He suffered to save us. So through Jesus' suffering, good comes to those who believe in him. So what we know from that is God knows what it is to feel pain, and when people suffer, he isn't distant, because he volunteered to suffer on our behalf. So that's how Jesus' mission ties in with suffering. So if we were asked the question about suffering, we could mention how God knows what it is to suffer, and Jesus suffered and loads of good came out of that. And we could also talk about how it's telling us there is something wrong with the world. We've rebelled against God and we need to turn to him while we still have chance before something worse happens. So that's one question. How about this question? There are loads of religions, surely they're all just different ways to God. So you might be asked that, you know. So, you know, aren't all religions equally valid? That's another way of putting that. Did Jesus speak about this? So we could ask that question. And probably coming into your mind, the one that came straight away into my mind was John 14:6. And in John 14:6, it's a verse that you all know, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So you could say something like, well, Jesus, when he was on earth, what he said was actually the only way to God is through him. You could ask them if they understand what that means. And then hopefully you would have another opportunity to explain how Jesus died on the cross. And the way we come to the Father is through Jesus' death on the cross. We could also point out the fact if there was any other way to God, then why would God allow his son to die on a cross? So that's two examples. And sorry if that was all very fast, but I'm deliberately being fast because we're going to put two up on the screen for you to think about and choose. Don't worry if you don't come to the right answer. I'm not going to test anyone or quiz anyone. If anyone wants to volunteer what they said, that'd be great. But these are two questions. So just in twos or threes, just for a couple of minutes, just think about. So you're not coming up with your polished answer here. You're just simply thinking, where could I go to in Jesus' life where he spoke about this? How does Jesus' mission reflect something about this? So the two questions are, and maybe if you don't like the look of one of them, just pick the other one. Maybe if you don't like either of them, just read the bottom strap line a few times and meditate on that if you'd rather do that. So being a Christian might be okay. So this is more of a statement, but there's an implied question behind it. So being a Christian might be okay for you, but I'm happy, thanks. So if someone said that to you, and it's I know it's a statement, but there's an implied question behind it. So being a Christian's fine for you, but I'm quite happy, I don't need God. That sort of a question, statement. And then, don't all good people go to heaven? So don't all good people go to heaven? So in twos or threes or fours, just for a few minutes, just try and think about that. Sorry to tax your brains when you probably just thought you were going to come and sit and not have to think. But just try and think about different parts of the Bible that perhaps you might go to to explain that and answer those questions / statement.